But we ask that you take these next moments and speak to our heart from your word. We surrender to you. We surrender to what you want to say to us from your word by your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last night we enjoyed our love banquet, celebrating the joy of the love we have here in the body of Christ, and in particular, the warmth of fellowship that we enjoy here at CBC, as God has blessed us. That's what the love banquet was originally started to be when the church was first founded, and we have celebrated it to be that ever since. Our theme for the love banquet was Love, the Heart of Fellowship, which is actually the focus of my sermon today in the last couple of weeks. And so to really drive home that point, Love, the Heart of Fellowship, we played the Family Feud. We did. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. We had the elders and deacons and their wives against the staff and their wives. And it was a lot of fun. The good news is, when we are walking by the power of the Holy Spirit and acting as the people that God calls us to be, we don't really have family feuds. We might disagree from time to time on this matter or that matter, but we're committed to one another, and we seek to walk in grace and serve one another and consider the needs and interests of others above our own, all the while seeking to walk humbly before our God. And that helps us to enjoy a wonderful unity in the body as followers of Christ. In our series on fellowship, we focused so far, as I mentioned, on love. The heart of fellowship is love. And today we look at two more one another's that are ways to show love. Encourage one another and be kind to one another. Last night, as I mentioned, we handed out the theme cards, and that has the verse on there that Lee just read for us from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Once again, that says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, cards are available in the back if you want. But that passage talks about encouraging one another, and all the more until the day draws near. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 gives us the same command. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. 6-year-old Angie came home from school one day wearing a blue ribbon that she had won in class for answering a natural history question. Her mom wanted to know what she had said. They got her that ribbon. She said, I said, a giraffe has three legs. Her mom looked at her, but a giraffe has four legs. I suppose, but I was the closest one in my class. That teacher knew how to encourage. She found some way to award somebody a ribbon, and she was an encourager. If you are going to love someone, then by definition, you will encourage them. You'll say encouraging words that let them know that you believe in them, that you think they're great, that they're going to do great things as they walk with God. What you say blesses them, it lifts them up, it spurs them on. Maybe it means that you come alongside somebody when they're struggling and when they're hurting, and you strengthen them or you give them hope by what you say. God uses you to foster a sense of confidence in them, in the Lord, and to have courage to persevere through that difficult and troubling time. Or if they're doing well, if they're on the right track and making the right decision, to encourage them means to spur them on all the more to love and good deeds, to do what God has called for them to do. You encourage them when they are weak, to have strength and hope, and you encourage them when they are doing well, to keep doing that which God has said before them and to honor Him. My mom has become an encourager. Now, not to be sarcastic, but that sentence, those six words, are some of the most miraculous words I've ever spoken. My mom has become an encourager. She's not perfect at it by any stretch, but she really genuinely is growing in this area. My mom, as I've shared before, and whom I love dearly, has struggled with a negative and critical spirit. She just has all of her life, all of the 53 years I've been on this planet. That's what I know to be one of the things about my mom. She can be very demeaning, very hurtful in how she says things toward others. My sisters especially receive kind of the brunt and the weight of those comments, that criticism, that negativity. But if she didn't like how somebody was walking down the street, she would find some way to say something critical about that person, to express her opinion. The classic example was when my mom worked for the Bureau of Public Debt, which is a division of the U.S. Treasury that our senator drug from Washington, D.C. and stuck in this little town in West Virginia, I guess, pork and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they employ 5,000 people now, which in a population of 26,000, that's clearly the largest employer in that city. And mom has a hypersensitivity to perfume odors. She just does. And those things really bother her. So she was going to work and got in a crowded elevator where somebody was wearing a lot of perfume. And instead of saying what you might normally say, like, how are you? How is your day? What department do you work in? How many kids do you have? How old are they? How long have you worked here? She blurted out, what is that horrible smell? Which, of course, is just a lovely way to win friends and influence people. Though she actually has that book on her shelf. So, but over the years, God has truly done a work in my mom's heart. And I mean, it has been a miraculous thing to watch. Only recently have I been able to have conversations with my mom where she has genuinely been an encouragement. But she has. She really has. She says uplifting things about Jan and the girls, kind words about my ministry, positive things about how well she and I are getting along or how she's proud of me. My mom has become an encourager. And that may seem like a simple thing, a little thing, but the truth is it shows a genuine change of character within. Matthew 12:34 says, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So where before there was only bitterness and anger filling her heart, there now is trust in the Lord, and there's hope, and there's grace, and there's goodness. And her words reflect that. It's a work of God. God has changed her heart. And from the person I once knew her to be, I find that to be miraculous. I am so grateful. She's such a happier person. She's so much more pleasant to be around. She's so much more at peace with herself and with others. She's more able to see the good that God is doing in various situations. And I think she could probably handle getting into that crowded elevator now. So, the church should be a place full of encouragers. A place where people speak words that lift someone's spirit, that brighten their day. Words that cheer them on in the Christian life. Don't you like being encouraged? Take a moment and think about somebody in your life who has been an encouragement to you. Really. Think about a particular person. Get a specific person in mind, a real encourager to you. You have someone? I don't mind waiting. Now, imagine that person not being there. Not playing that role in your life. Not being there to lift you up with their thoughtfulness and their words of hope. Imagine that void. Doesn't it make you want to go up to that person and tell them what an encouragement, what a blessing they've been to you over the years? Maybe that's something you should seriously consider doing. Maybe they need to hear what a blessing they've been to you and what their encouraging words have meant to you. Maybe they need to hear from you how God has used them in your life. Maybe they need encouraged. Encouragement, what a lovely gift. And what a powerful tool in God's hand. The next one, another, is to be kind to one another. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. It's the more practical arm of encouragement. Though this isn't a hard and fast rule, generally, encouragement is more the words, either spoken or written. You write a note of encouragement, you say a nice word about somebody, a compliment, what they've meant to you. It's spoken. While kindness is more the encouraging or caring deed or action that we do. Kindness is such a beautiful thing to see in action. When somebody does something kind for somebody else, it's such a wonderful ministry in that person's life. Of course, it doesn't always go like we might like, but we still need to appreciate that person's good intentions. A mom was sick in bed with the flu on one occasion, and her darling little daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse, just like her mom had been to her over and over again. You know, she was returning kindness for kindness. So the little girl flipped up the pillows on her mom's bed and brought her a magazine for her mom to read, and then the daughter showed up with a surprise cup of delicious tea. Honey, that's so sweet of you, the mom said. I didn't know that you even knew how to make tea. Oh, yeah, Mom, I've learned by watching you. I put the tea leaves in the pan, and then I put in the water, and I boiled it, and then I strained it into the cup. Though I couldn't find a strainer, so I used the fly swatter. What? Oh, no, Mom, it's okay. I didn't use the good one. I used the old one. Well, okay, then, you know. Ah, kindness. But really, what a powerful ministry in somebody's life to go out of your way to do something thoughtful and kind for somebody else. You see a need. God speaks to you about an open door of how you can show love and care to somebody, and you respond. You do an act of kindness as God leads you to. Jan is much better at this than I am. I mean, kindness and giving, these are gifts that she has, and I just follow along and watch. I remember when we were first married, we took a cake decorating class together. And as newlyweds, we decided that we would enter into each other's realms of interest. And so we decided we would do something that the other person enjoyed doing. Jan wanted to take a cake decorating class. I wanted to play softball. So she joined an all-girls softball team. And I was on a men's team in a men's league. And we would go root each other on and all that. And I will do an act of kindness for her by not telling you her softball story here in public. Besides, she's much better at telling that story than I am, but it's a wonderful classic story for Jan. The great softball story. But anyway, we also did, in fact, take a cake decorating class. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And we baked cakes for our daughters and decorated them. But every week in that class, as the teacher would instruct us to come with prepared cakes and stuff, we'd learn how to decorate some new aspect of the process of cake decorating. We would go home with a finished product. So actually, my sister Debbie was staying with us at the time for about 3 or 4 months. And she was taking the cake decorating class as well, which meant that we had 3 complete, fully decorated cakes going home every week. And try as I did to eat all those cakes, it was even too much for me. So what do you do with, every week, 3 cakes, 3 full. So Jan had an idea. We were working with Campus Crusade for Christ at the University of Michigan. And kids there, students there, were under a lot of pressure. It's a very intensive academic school. And so what better way to encourage them than with a surprise cake? And so we would go to campus and go to their apartment or their fraternity or sorority, their dorm floor, and we would place a cake right outside their door, then knock on the door and run. And they had no idea, you know, where this cake was coming from. But it was just so much fun to do that and have that be a gift to them. And of course, our hope and wish was that they would open the door and look down first before they stepped forward. Nothing says love quite like icing gooing gushing between your toes, you know. But barring that fiasco, it really was just an exciting way to show some kindness to these kids, just to be a small blessing in their life, you know, unannounced and just wanting to show love. Just a homemade cake. You know, kindness comes from somebody who has experienced the kindness of God, and they're so grateful for that that it just has to spill over. They can't keep it in. It has to touch the lives of others. Aren't you someone who's been a recipient of the wonderful kindness of God? We all are. In Romans 4:2, it says, "Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" It was His very kindness that led us to repentance. And then on in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us." What the verse is saying is that Jesus Himself is the kindness of God. Substitute Jesus in that phrase, and it says, "But when Jesus appeared, He saved us." Jesus is the very expression of the kindness of God and His love toward us. So 2,000 years ago, we got this wonderful gift of kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've all been recipients of His kindness. We have. But furthermore, we experience His kindness all the time. strength for today, hope for tomorrow, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the beauty of Christian fellowship, the privilege of being a part of His great cause of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, of making disciples, of helping one another grow in grace and the knowledge of God. He fills us with love, joy, peace, patience, on and on. He leads us to have victory over sin. He guides our path. He comforts us in our sorrow. He heals and forgives and blesses us. We daily experience the kindness of God. And if we have received such amazing kindness, how can it not spill over to touch those around us? Do kind things for one another. Take concrete steps to be kind to someone that God leads you to that needs that grace, that gift of kindness in their life. Kindness seems like such a simple thing. I mean, it's tempting to wonder, what difference really does just a small act of kindness actually make? Well, let me close with a true story from a teacher at a school in Minnesota. It's rather long, so sit back and enjoy. Fall asleep, whatever you do. Anyway, she writes this. He was in the first third grade class I ever taught. All 34 of my students were dear to me, but Mark Eklund was one in a million. Very neat in appearance, he had that happy-to-be-alive attitude that made even his occasional mischievousness delightful. Mark also talked incessantly. I had to remind him again and again that talking without permission was not acceptable. What impressed me so much, though, was his sincere response every time I had to correct him for misbehaving. "Thank you for correcting me, teacher." I didn't know what to make of that at first. But before long, I became accustomed to hearing it many times a day. "Thank you for correcting me, teacher." One morning, my patience was growing thin when Mark talked once too often, and then I made a novice teacher's mistake. I looked at Mark and said, "If you say one more word, I'm going to tape your mouth shut." It wasn't 10 seconds later that Dave heard that Mark is talking again, and I hadn't asked anybody in the class to keep me informed about what Mark was doing, but since I'd stated the punishment in front of the class, I had to act on it. I remember the scene as if it had occurred this morning. I walked to my desk, very deliberately opened the drawer, and took out a roll of masking tape. Without saying a word, I proceeded to Mark's desk, tore off two pieces of tape, and made a big X right across his mouth. I then returned to the front of the room. As I glanced at Mark to see how he was doing, he winked at me, and I lost it. I started laughing. The class cheered as I walked back to Mark's desk, removed the tape, and shrugged my shoulders. His first words were, "Thank you for correcting me, teacher." At the end of the year, I was asked to teach 9th grade math. The years flew by, and before I knew it, Mark was in my classroom again as a 9th grader. He was more handsome than ever and just as polite. Since he had to listen carefully to my instructions with the new math, he didn't talk as much in 9th grade as he had in 3rd. One Friday, things in class weren't going well. We'd worked hard on a new concept all week long, and I sensed that the students were growing frustrated and with themselves and edgy with one another. I had to stop this crankiness before it got out of hand. So I asked them to list the names of the other students in the room on 2 sheets of paper and leave a space between each name. And then I told them to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. It took the remainder of the class for them to finish that assignment. And as the students left the room, each one handed me their papers. And Mark said, "Thank you for teaching me. Have a good weekend." Well, next day on Saturday, I wrote down the name of each student on the top of a separate sheet of paper, and I listed what everyone else in that class had said about that individual. On Monday, I gave them each student his list. Before long, the entire class was smiling. "Really?" And somebody whispered, "I never knew that meant anything to anybody. I didn't really know others liked me." No one ever mentioned those papers in class again. I never knew if they discussed them with one another after class or what they talked it over with their parents, but it really didn't matter. The exercise had accomplished its purpose. The students were happy with themselves and with one another again. That group of students moved on. Several years later, after I returned from vacation, my parents picked me up at the airport. As we were driving home, Mother asked the usual questions about the trip. How was the weather, the flight, other just general experiences? There was a slight lull in the conversation, and then Mother gave Dad a sideways glance and simply said, "Dad?" My father cleared his throat as he usually does before something important. The Eklunds called last night. He began. Really? I said. I hadn't heard from them in years. I wonder how Mark is. Dad responded quietly. Mark was killed in Vietnam, he said. The funeral is tomorrow, and his parents would like it if you could attend. To this day, I can still point to the exact spot on Interstate 494 where Dad told me about Mark. I had never seen a serviceman in a military coffin before. Mark looked so handsome, so mature. All I could think at that moment was, Mark, I would give all the masking tape in the world if only you would just say one word to me. The church was packed with Mark's friends. Dave's sister sang the battle hymn of the Republic. At the graveside, the pastor spoke briefly and closed in prayer, and the bugler played taps. One by one, those who loved Mark took a last walk by the coffin, leaving a flower, saying a prayer. I was the last one to pass by the coffin. As I stood there, one of the soldiers who had been a pallbearer came up to me. Were you Mark's math teacher? He asked. I nodded as I continued to stare at the coffin. Mark talked a lot about you. After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates headed to Dave's farmhouse for lunch. Mark's mother and father were there, obviously waiting for me. We want to show you something, his father said, taking a wallet out of his pocket. They found this on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it. Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two torn pieces of notebook paper that had obviously been taped and folded and refolded many times. I knew without looking that the papers were the ones on which I had listed all the good things that each of Mark's classmates had said about him. Thank you so much for doing that, Mark's mother said. As you can see, Mark treasured it. Mark's classmates started to gather around us. Charlie smiled sheepishly and said, I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk at home. Dave's wife said, Dave asked me to put his in our wedding album. I have mine too, Marilyn said. It's in my diary. Then Vicky, another classmate, reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. I carry this wherever I go. Every single one of them had kept their lists. It's just a simple thing. Just a simple class assignment. But saying nice things to one another as class members and having them saying something nice about you touched their lives forever. True story. What word of encouragement, what act of kindness does the person beside you today need? What about the child down the hall in Children's Church? Or one of the teenagers in youth group? What about that elderly person, that widow? What can you and I do to show them the love of Christ? We'll never know what difference a simple little word of encouragement or an act of kindness might mean to them. What would God have you do? Go do that. Let's pray. Father, help us, we pray, to be kind. We see and experience your kindness all the time, all around us. You give us a blessing, a gift of kindness everywhere we look. Help us, Father, as your children, as your representatives, as those who reflect the image of Christ, help us, we pray, to be kind. To say an encouraging word, to do a kind deed. Father, give us sensitivity to the needs of those around us. Make someone very near to us who just needs an encouragement. Some kind thing done for them, some thoughtfulness. Help us to know, Father, and help us to act, to show the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand together.